Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
Continuing our 49ers roster countdown series, 90 all the way to number one on players who will have the largest impact on the 2022 49ers season. And at number 65, we have maybe a team favorite already, safety, undrafted free agent safety, Leon O'Neal Jr. Now, let me just get some things out there. Safety was tagged as one of the largest needs by a lot of the 49ers media and Twitter and GM experts, all the whatever. 49ers didn't touch it. They didn't touch it. They had a lot of big-time kind of second, third-round prospects in for visits, including Leon O'Neal, and they didn't draft one safety. Instead, they waited until after the draft and brought Leon O'Neal Jr. in. So I think that this tells a lot about the safety position currently on the 49ers, how much faith they have in Hufanga. But what does Leon O'Neal's chances for this team and outlook look like for this year? Well, first off, he's got jersey number 14, which I like seeing in the defensive side. 6'1", 210. He's already 23 years old. Undrafted free agent. Now, he grew up in just outside of Houston in Cypress. He went to Cypress Springs High School, the Panthers, which is like northeast of Houston if you're not from Texas. He was a four-star recruit by ESPN Rivals and 24/7 Sports and chose Texas A&M. Now, I'm a Longhorn, but that's not going to get in the way of my feelings about this kid because his tape was fun. Yeah, really, really enjoyed kind of everything he did. You know, coming out of high school, second team all district honors, you know, just as a junior in high school, 86 tackles, 4 pass breakups, 2 interceptions. Ball skills. As we go through this player profile for Leon O'Neal Jr., you got to think ball hawk, experience, leadership. That's what he is. Now, he has his deficiencies, but if you're looking at the things that he excels at, it's those three things. And it showed early on. He showed up as a true freshman, played in all 13 games in the SEC. Like, this dude is a player. Came on ready to play as well. Started 10 games as a sophomore, but was in every single game as well. You know, gets interceptions every single year. That's just what he does. Pass breakups, interceptions, that's what he leads with. And again, just all throughout his entire career, just kept collecting accolades. You know, and so if you look at kind of what it is that he does, listen to these awards he won at Texas A&M. First off, he won the Aggie Heart Award, which is the highest award for anybody on the football team. They give it to one player. He won it. This is what head coach Jimbo Fisher, who I'm not really a big fan of, but I think it says a lot. This quote: Leon has always had a big heart and played the game with a lot of passion. He has given everything he has to this program and our football team. Proud of the young man Leon has become and his growth both on the field and off the field, end quote from Jimbo Fisher. So you're talking about a high-tempo leadership, lead-by-example type of a guy with a lot of experience. He also won the Defensive Attitude Award and the Aggie Award for Strength and Conditioning. So this is somebody that works. He's got an NFL-developed body. There's no doubt about it. However, there are some issues. Now I'm going to jump back to my player scouting report on him before he was drafted. I had him ranked in the sixth round. I had a sixth round grade. He was number 174 on my big board. So for the 49ers to get him as an undrafted free agent, right? 252 players, I believe, are drafted. So you got him, You got him on cheap. I thought fifth, sixth round was where he would go. I was wrong. Now, why didn't he go there? You look at, he's slow. 4.70 40-yard dash, not at the combine, and it's pro day. That's an issue. But 35-inch vertical, 6.893 cone. So top-tier speed, you know, his let it go doesn't show up. It doesn't show up on film, doesn't show up metrics, doesn't do it. Shifty instincts, that's what he does. Now, very similar to Kalia Davis, who we just finished number 66, Leon O'Neal had not one, but two official 49ers interviews. They were honed in on this kid, and there was a lot that they liked about him. He goes to the Senior Bowl. Guess what? Wins the practice award at the Senior Bowl. This dude, he's a football player. He's a positive football player. OTAs and minicamps for the 49ers. He's snagging one-handed interceptions all over the place. He's a high-energy player that doesn't know days off. That's not really what he brings to the table. High energy, high everything. That's what he does. Physical and fun every time I watch his film. Lots of exclamation points. Downhill hitter. Loves to hit. Quick to react. Smart. Great agility. Change of direction. But lacks speed, which is rough on the back end. Has to rely on perfect pursuit angles and agility. Flies around nonstop. Very fun to watch. I kept watching this. Fun, man. I kept watching his tape because it was just fun. It was entertaining. Missed tackles. Giant concern. That's a problem. He has way too many missed tackles. One of the worst missed tackle rates in the NFL. So can he be coached, or in NCAA, can he be coached out of that to where he's not going to be a liability in the run game? He's got 32 career starts. He's played in 48 games, 6 interceptions, 18 passes defensed. And man, he looks faster than 4.7, but that top end speed just not there. You go back now real quick just to talk about his athleticism. This dude played quarterback in high school all the way up until his junior year. My athletic comp for him is Malik Hooker, but without the speed. My play style comp for him is Justin Evans. So these are kind of the, you know, trying to build a player, creating what it is we're looking for with him is consistency. He brings the heart. He brings the energy. He brings the motor. He brings the big plays. Can't be a liability in the run game. That's his issue. You look at his career stats at Texas A&M. Appeared in 48 games. 108 career solo tackles. 53 assisted. 10 tackles for loss. 1 sack. 6 interceptions. Dude gets his hand on the ball. 18 pass breakups. 1 fumble recovery. Now, whenever he was an undrafted free agent, he had a lot of seekers. The 49ers guaranteed him $50,000 and a $10,000 bonus through the life of his contract to bring him in. That's fourth highest for the 49ers undrafted class this year. So you can kind of see where that slates him, right? He's not the most prized undrafted free agent, but he's not the bottom either. The reason why I have him 65 higher on this list than a lot of other undrafted free agents is the energy he brings, the position he plays, might have one of the clearer paths to playing time than any of the other undrafted free agents. Like, it's not hard. It doesn't take much to see him landing on this roster. Now, if you're looking at the safety breakdown, there's no way they keep 5 safeties. You know, if you go Jimmy Ward, Talanoa Hufanga, Odom, then you've got Tarvarius Moore. I think right after that, number 5 would be Leon O'Neal. So if the 49ers keep 4, which he would be a great special teams player, he just got to beat one person. They'll probably end up keeping 3, but they have kept 4 in the past as well. So he's got opportunities. Now, I think he's going to land on the practice squad, especially with the guarantee he's got. He's showing up in film, on the field, which is huge because what he's probably going to be is a scout team guy early. And you want these guys that take it serious going against your starters in offense. Guys that are going to jaw, give a little bit more of a real game experience. That's Leon O'Neal, safety. I like him a lot. I don't think he's going to make the 53. That's why we got him at 65, but I would not be shocked if there's an injury, he's going to be called up active on the roster, special teams and a backup guy, even once he gets called up, but who knows, he makes plays. And once we see him get snaps in the preseason, he's going to get an interception. He's going to get his hands on balls. I guarantee you that's just what he does. He has a knack, right? Some guys just have a GPS tracker for the football and are always around it. That's Leon O'Neal.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Perhaps the potatoes to the meat and potatoes of the 49ers roster. These are guys that are right on the fringe. Only 53 players make the initial roster. Malik Turner, wide receiver / special teams. Very important we bring that up. He's right on that fringe. Very, very logical chance to make this roster or be the first one or last one out because of how he can contribute. If you look at the 49ers wide receiver room, there's 5 clear-cut guys. Now, usually the 49ers keep 6. And if I had to bet right now who that number 6 wide receiver would be, it'd be Malik Turner because of what he can do on special teams and the experience that he has. If you're looking long-term, there's a lot of other guys, undrafted free agents, back-end roster guys that I think would make it over Malik Turner. But the entire list that we are putting together, 90 all the way to 1, is comprised of who will impact the 49ers' current season, the 2022 season. And that's why I have Malik Turner at 64 ahead of a lot of those guys. So let's learn about him. His jersey number is number 17. Now, for 49ers fans, that's not a polite number. Bringing up some PTSD. I don't want to add that name shall not be mentioned. But Malik Turner's a bigger guy. 6'2", 202 pounds. He's 26 years old. And despite being only 26, this is his 5th NFL season. So he's got the experience. We'll detail that here in a little bit. Now, he is from Central Illinois, and I mean Central Illinois. Played at Sacred Heart Griffin High School in Springfield, Illinois, which is a Catholic Dominican school. The Cyclones, one of the coolest logos I've seen for a high school team. I love logos, man. So anyway, you want to look that up. Sacred Heart Griffin High School football team. I love their logo. Anyway, having said all those things, he had a great high school year. It literally dominated and led his team to a state title. You look at him as a senior, he had 69 receptions, 1,300 yards, 22 touchdowns. His team went 14-0, led him to a 5A state championship. He received the Central State Conference Player of the Year honors. And because of that, you know, he was recruited very, very heavily. Number 32 overall player in the state of Illinois coming out of high school. Number 38 by ESPN and 41 by Scout. He chose Illinois. So he went there, the Fighting Illini, and played in all 13 games as a freshman. Stepped on the field and just became a guy. Academic all Big Ten almost every single year. National Honor Society. Smart. And just, he had a lot going for him until he got a nagging foot injury his senior year, which caused him to miss some time. Couldn't compete at the combine. It did have 17 reps on the bench press at 225. That's pretty dang strong. So he's a bigger dude, 6'2", over 200 pounds, and strong upper body. That's why this guy has done well. He didn't get drafted. He landed on the enemy. The Seattle Seahawks picked him up in 2018 as an undrafted free agent. Bounced around there for a little bit, had a couple starts whenever he was with Seattle. He played in 21 games in 2 years, mostly special teams, but he did get 3 starts at wide receiver. And in his time in Seattle, those 2 years, 2018, 2019, he had 17 receptions, 265 yards, and one touchdown. One touchdown. Came against the 49ers. Ah, anyway. So then he jumped over to Dallas, where he appeared in six games, had no receptions, primarily special teamers. And then in 2021, he finally got some time with Dallas, where he had 12 receptions, 149 yards, 61. He had a 61-yard touchdown, three touchdowns last year for Dallas. So here's the issue. He's got an NFL body. He can produce when called upon. Injuries have been an issue. And, you know, because he provides the versatility, he can play outside wide receiver. Easy, very strong body, as I've said several times now. The experience is there. He's bounced around NFL teams. And again, look who our new special teams coach is, Snyder, who used to be with Seattle. So with the heavy emphasis on special teams, if he's one of those bubble guys, I could see, you know, Coach Snyder's special team saying, hey, I want him over him. So I'll take him over this linebacker. I'll take him over this safety. I'll take him over this whatever, because he can do it all on special teams. So I would be willing to bet, as I said earlier, Malik Turner's probably the wide receiver number six now. Now, will the 49ers keep all six wide receivers? Could they keep five and then just put them on the practice squad and bring them up if somebody gets hurt? It's a possibility. Let you allow you to keep an extra defensive lineman, right? But you know, he shines. If he shines during training camp and preseason, and he's out there on kickoff and kickoff return and just proves to be indispensable in that area, he's going to make this roster. But more than likely, probably going to be on the practice squad. Now, if you look at the wide receivers, there's 11 wide receivers on the current roster. Five are set in stone making the roster. We know that, right? So Debo, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, Danny Gray, the third-round draft pick, and then Ray-Ray McCloud, who you paid all that money to. So that leaves six guys competing for 2 to 3 spots on the wide receiver six and a practice squad spot. So maybe there's two practice squad wide receivers, which they've done in the past. There's going to be a lot of odd men out. And his special teams value kind of locks him in as a guy that's probably going to be safe, even though that's on the practice squad. So we'll have to see. I don't think that he could ever compete as a wide receiver, starting wide receiver for the 49ers. But let's just say you have one or two injuries to your top five guys. Man, you would not hesitate to put this guy out there on the field because of the experience. He has some good speed. He has the body. He has the hands. You know, he could be a wide receiver four going into a game. And not ideal, but 49ers, he's not Travis Benjamin. I should have said that. Anyway, I really like this kid. He's fun. He's just very well-rounded. And again, nothing that's going to like sell jerseys or tickets or make headlines. But it's these types of guys, as a former coach, I could tell you, that just help you sleep soundly at night because you know you can put him on everywhere and he's not going to cost you in a negative sense. So that's Malik Turner. Excited about that. Number 64, we're getting closer and closer to the 53-man cutoff. We are continuing our 49ers roster countdown with number 63. This guy's been around for a while. The 49ers love him. Can't get enough of him. And it just seems like every single year they find a way to stash him and keep him around. They really trust him. They love him in the locker room. That's defensive lineman slash edge prospect. He plays all over the place. Alex Barrett. He wears jersey number 58, 6'2", 250. He can kind of do it all. 28 years old and entering into his fifth season. He's an Arizona guy from Desert Ridge High School, just out of Mesa, Arizona, just outside of Phoenix, just east of Phoenix. The Fighting Jaguars. He is a social science major. And man, as we go through this list, you know, we started at 90, we're at 63 now, so quite a few prospects in. San Diego State, man, they love poaching players from that school. This is like number 7 or 8 players from San Diego State that they like them. Now, if you look at Alex Barrett, he's been around the league for a minute, but he's been with the 49ers for a long time. You go back to his high school days, lettered in track and field in high school. Second in the state of Arizona at shot put. He was a two-time All-State selection in high school, team captain his senior year, first-team All-District on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And he's the first San Diego State defensive lineman to win first-team All-Mountain West honors, not once, but twice. The dude just had such a productive year, your college career, high school career. And if you recognize anything, you probably know this name if you've watched any preseason games, because every single year he's one of by far the most productive defensive linemen, not just for the 49ers, but like in the preseason. He goes off. He produces. He might not have the metrics that you want, the size that you want. The dude just is successful. And so I think a big reason why the 49ers love him and keep him around, Alex Barrett, is because he's such a damn good football player and a good practicer. Now, maybe his ceiling isn't as high, but he's already very, very consistent. And they've relied on him a few times and gotten him into games. We'll talk about that in a second. But, man, he's a fun guy. Barely missed, being drafted just outside. He was one of those guys that kind of had a 6th, 7th round grade on him because of his height. 6'2", 250 makes him a tweener. You'd like some more height there. Now, if you look at his metrics, he tested very well. 40-yard dash, ran a 4.9. At 250 pounds, not bad. Bench press, 21 reps, not bad. 3-cone, 7.4, not bad, right? You're kind of getting a theme here. Vertical, 30, not bad. He's a below-average NFL athlete that's a jack-of-all-trades guy. He just does everything. He can play defensive tackle. He can play outside. He can play, speed edge, strong edge. He can kind of do a little bit of everything. He was picked up by Detroit, where he started his career, Chris Kucerik, right? Again, these guys, Chris Forrester, the O-line guy, Chris Kucerik, the D-line guy, they bring players with them that they fall in love with. And Alex Barrett fits that mold to a T. So he played in 2 games his rookie year, had 1 tackle. 2008 was back with Detroit, was on the practice squad, didn't get called up. Then when he came over and joined us, Kucerik, he brought him with him. So in 2019, Alex Barrett joined our practice squad. 2020, got called up and got active in 2 games, 1 tackle again. And then last year, spent the entire year on the practice squad. And, he even spent a little bit of time with the Oakland Raiders, bouncing around, whatever else. Signed on with the San Diego Fleet, the AAF, whatever that was around for a very short time, and then joined the 49ers immediately after. A very similar career path as Daniel Brunskill. These guys that were kind of cast-offs, didn't really land anything, but have found a way to stick around in the NFL because they've tied themselves to coaches, position coaches. And they're easy to trust because they're smart. They're, they work out. They do well. They're very consistent. They're not causing problems or anything like that. So he's appeared in 4 games in his career in 5 years, 0 starts, and only 2 tackles for his whole career. Now, why do I have him at pick 63? One, I think the quality of play gives him an opportunity to be active on an NFL roster. If we remove the fact that the 49ers are so loaded at the defensive line position, Alex Barrett belongs somewhere. 2, why would the 49ers keep this guy year after year after year after year instead of moving on to younger project players with perhaps more, upside? It's because they trust him and they like him. I don't think that they have an issue with inserting him into the lineup at all. But he has to have some help. Whether the 49ers trade a D lineman or 2 or an injury or 2, it's going to take some time for him to get called up. But we have him number 63. Only 53 players get kept. I don't think he's going to make the initial roster. I just don't see it. But I guarantee you this. If somebody else doesn't pick him up, which I don't think they will, he's going to be all preseason team. And, whenever you get into the drags of the season, whenever you get week 8, 9, 10, those places, definitely could see Barrett getting some snaps if there's some injuries or anything going on. So I really like this guy. He's probably going to be a casualty to the depth that the 49ers have at the position. But again, the reason why they keep him around, they really, really like him. They really, really trust him. And I don't think that they have any qualms in bringing him up and making him active if that's what they need be. This is a Kucerik guy, and Kucerik has as much pull on this team as any position coach. So don't be shocked whenever Alex Barrett is still around next year when we do our 2023 countdown. And here we have number 62, probably one of the players that most fans know the least about, but that shouldn't be the case because currently, this player is 1 snap away from starting center. That is Keaton Sutherland, interior offensive lineman. He is in his fourth season. And again, this is a Chris Forrester, who's the offensive line coach and probably right-hand man number two to Kyle Shanahan on the offense. This is another one of his kind of pet projects. Chris Kucerik, defensive line coach, has his. This Keaton Sutherland is Jake Brendel 2.0. And took all of the snaps during minicamp and OTAs with the number two team at center. Like, he's close. So let's get to know this guy, because even though I don't think most people know who he is, and that's okay. He's had a journey to get where he is. This is his fourth season, as I said, undrafted free agent. He's wearing jersey number 66. Now, my favorite thing about him is just his height and weight. 6'5", 315. This is a prototypical build for an interior offensive lineman. Now, usually the center position's a little bit shorter, or can be, but his size is perfect. This is that's his best trait. Now, this is a North Dallas boy. Played at Flower Mound Marcus, the Fighting Marauders, which, you know, I got a couple friends on the coaching staff and nothing but positive things to say to him about him. You know, just great guy. He chose, let's talk a little bit more about his high school career. Gary Stanford is the head coach there, been there for a long time, great guy. Sutherland came out as a U.S. Army All-American, all-district player, Dallas Morning News honors as a senior. I mean, he was all over the place. Listen to these stats. He graded out at 93%, 86 knockdowns, and 43 pancakes. Like, the dude is mean, and physicality is kind of what he brings. He brings an attitude. Not the most technical, and that really hasn't improved as much as you would have hoped. But he was a big-time four-star prospect, chose Texas A&M over Arkansas, Miami, Oklahoma, Texas. This was a big-time kid in the backyard of some of the best, you know, programs, high school and college, you know, in the country. Now, whenever he went to Texas A&M, he started and played right away. Came in as an early enrollee and just stepped up. Now, he had some issues with injuries, had a shoulder injury, lost some time because of that. He had an appendectomy during the bye week 1 year and didn't miss a game. So, like, it's quite interesting. And he started right guard, left guard, and even a game at right tackle in college in an emergency situation. But he's played a lot. And so you're talking about a guy that, you know, you're looking at how much he's been able to play just at the college level, gained a lot of experience in a very pro system, which is, you know, really, really done him well. He comes out, did not get drafted. You look at his measurements, you know, athletically, physically he's built. He's a little slow. 40-yard dash, 5.1. Okay, that's okay. 3-cone, 8. All right, that's not great. Vertical 36, exceptional. that's unreal. 225-pound bench press, he did it 27 times. Pretty solid. So, you know, it's up and down. You know, I would say he's a very well-balanced physical player that's not really great at anything. If it's anything, it's just being mean. Like, more physical than technical, as I said. NFL size, can play all three interior offensive lineman spots. Now, he was an undrafted free agent and has had quite the journey. He signed on with the Cincinnati Bengals first as a, you know, undrafted free agent in 2019, was waived, brought back on the practice squad, made a couple game appearances, but nothing too big. Then he joined Miami, and this is where the story starts to get interesting, because that's where he was teamed up with our current offensive line specialist, coach Chris Forrester. And so they claimed him off waivers, started two games for them. So he's worked with Jake Brendel. He's worked with Forrester. He's been there in that system. They waived him eventually. Then he went back to the Bengals. Again, when teams bring back players like this, it's for a reason. They like him. He's a very positive guy, academics, exceptional, as with most people the 49ers bring in. So in 2020, he goes back to the Bengals with his second stint, was promoted on the active roster once and then waived and re-signed to the practice squad, then waived and all those things. And then that's when the 49ers come in. On March 8th, 2022, the 49ers went ahead and signed him. And again, you look back at OTAs and minicamp, he took all the snaps with the second team. Not Nick Sakil, the guard that they said could play center, that they liked at center. Not Spencer Burford, the guard that they drafted that they said they liked at center. None of those guys. Now, my assumption is that it's going to be between the center position, Dan Brunskill and Jake Brindle, with Jake Brindle probably having the lead right now. But make no mistake, this kid, Keaton Sutherland, has a for real opportunity to play for the 49ers on their initial 53-man roster. Now, it would take an injury to one of the other two, you know, Jake Brindle or Dan Brunskill, but this kid's got to be around. That's why we have him at 62. You know, we have him ahead of a lot of guys that have a lot more promise, a lot more potential, just because he could step in and play right now. Now, he's only started, he's got two starts in his career and only played in five games. So, NFL experience, not ideal. But he does have it. So, like, he's somebody that you could put in and has worked in this system for several years. You wouldn't have to worry about much. You don't have to worry about calls, you know, all those types of things. So, he's going to be a little bit ahead of the rookies in that standpoint. And I think that's why he's getting so many reps with Trey Lance and all them, you know, the offense. So, that's Keaton Sutherland. I think a lot of people will be shocked to hear that name this high for me. But whenever I look at, again, this entire list, the premise is who's going to have the biggest impact in 2022 for the 49ers, not long term. If it was long term, I'd bump them down to like 75, 80. But this year, sadly, with Alex Mack's retirement, there is a very strong consideration that this guy will be a backup sooner rather than later, and that scares me. Do want to say thank you to Josh and Anthony, this show's producers, the series producers. They've done a great job. And man, that's 62, Keaton Sutherland. We're just going to keep counting them down.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.